Chapter 62. It was a warm Saturday evening late in October. Ron was taking a walk up to Elmwood Park to see if any of his friends were around. He was amazed at the reactions that people had to him playing on the upper-level team. They seemed to look at him differently. He basked in the glow of it, but not as much as he loved to play. He was as happy as he could remember being in so long. He hadn't been slapped since football season had started. His grades have improved. He was even passing French, Latin, and algebra, although the last was much in need of improvement, and he hoped that somehow it would just begin to click for him. The days were shorter now, and it was dark early, but the streetlights that ringed the park created a twilight that allowed you to see. There was a large group of guys, and they were playing football. Ron knew that he wasn't allowed in these kind of games anymore. It was against the team rules, but he wanted to play. He wanted to be unstoppable, and with these guys, he could still run the ball. He was invited into the game and quickly said yes. He dressed in jeans and a sweatshirt. If he had been honest with himself, he would have admitted this was why he had come here. It was a 7-on-7 game. Ron was playing his position on defense. He was a linebacker. When his team had the ball, he was in the backfield. On the 6th play of the game, he caught a short pass and pivoted the way he had learned from Richie. The fake worked, and he raced up the sideline and scored. The elation sent waves of euphoria racing through him. Instead of kicking the ball to the other team, these kids threw it. Ron was lined up on the left. The ball spiraled down to the middle of the field. When it got higher than the lights, it couldn't be seen. Ron raced to where he thought the ball would land, and then it was coming down and bouncing, and Larry Bonnet picked it up and ran up the middle of the field. Ron cut in towards him and lunged. As he lunged, he planted his foot the way that he did when he was wearing cleats, but he was wearing sneakers, and they slipped, and the lunge came up short, and he felt his arm curl to grab Larry's hips, but there was no force behind it. Ron bounced off harmlessly and hit the ground hard. The pop that he heard was followed by electric jolts of pain. He'd never felt a pop in his body before. He tried to jump up and run after the play. He got to his feet, the adrenaline rushing through him, and ran. On the second step, he heard the pop again and went down hard, rolling and clutching at his left knee. He tried to get to his feet, but he was having trouble straightening his leg. It seemed to be bent like a dog's leg, and he couldn't manage to straighten it out. He tried to take a step, but his leg wouldn't move. He stood there with a helpless look of pain and embarrassment. "I don't think I can play any more tonight," he said. His immediate problem was how to move. He couldn't just stand there in the middle of the field. He needed to get home and look at his knee, but he couldn't take a step. Larry Bonnet and Philip Rolandelli helped him to a car that was parked alongside of the park. He felt some relief when he leaned against it. Maybe if he just stood there until the throbbing went away, everything would be all right. Ron felt his knees swelling. He looked down. To his horror, it was pressing out against his jeans. They seemed trapped by the swollen knee. Ron leaned over and tried to pull the jeans down. Another wave of electric shock rushed through him. This was bad. This was really bad. He watched the guys play a while longer. Then the game broke up, and the kids started home. Ron found that if he pressed down on his toes when he tried to hobble, that he could propel himself forward. Maybe if he had a stick, something to lean on when he stepped, he could make it. The 6 blocks he needed to cover to get to their apartment took over an hour. Once he sat down to rest on a porch, but the effort that it took to get back on his feet convinced him that he shouldn't do that anymore. He was sweating profusely. The pain just wouldn't stop. When he reached the apartment, he was shaking with the effort that it took to take a single step. His mind went into shock when he looked at the steps. How the fuck was he supposed to manage them? He had an idea. He placed both hands on the railing and hopped on his good leg. The jolt squeezed tears out of his eyes. He had another idea. He sat on the steps, bent his arms, and used them to raise his body to the next step. On his ass, he managed two flights of stairs. The hallway of the apartment was dark. Ron could see the glow of the television coming from the living room. He hobbled slowly to his room. Marjorie heard the noise and said, "Is that you, Ronald?" Ron tried to make his voice sound normal. "Yeah, Mom." "Come in here a moment." "I can't." "What do you mean, you can't?" "I fell. I'm having trouble walking. I think I did something to my leg." "Well, take your time. I want to talk to you." Marjorie had seen Ron come home bruised before. He always tried to hide his bumps and bruises so that Marjorie wouldn't get angry with him. She waited. Ron tried to take a couple of steps, but he used all of his energy to get home and then to get up the stairs. Marjorie heard it in his voice when he half cried, "I can't." Marjorie and George left the TV program and the light went on in the hallway. Ron stood there hunched over. He was leaning against the wall, and his left leg wasn't touching the ground. Marjorie gasped when she got closer. He was drenched in sweat. His hair was matted to his head. He had been crying. George moved towards him, and Ron felt his supporting bulk. George said, "Just lean on me." Ron could smell the beer on George's breath as he half carried him into the living room. They laid him on the couch. Marjorie said, "What did you do to yourself?" "I don't know. I tripped in the park." She suspected immediately. "Were you playing football?" Ron shrugged. "Don't you get enough of football all week long? Now look what you've done." Ron felt guilty, but angry too. Other kids' mothers felt sorry for them when they got hurt. His mother took it as something that he had done to himself to hurt her. George showed him how to use the kitchen chair to lean on when he tried to move. He would lean against the back of it, then slide it forward against the wooden floor. But it didn't work on the shaggy, stained white rug. "I'm going to bed," said Ron. "Well, I hope it's better in the morning," said Marjorie. Ron slid his chair down the hallway and made it to his bedroom. When he finally got his jeans off, he saw that his left knee was twice the size of his right knee, and it was hot to the touch. Ron had trouble sleeping. Each time he turned in his sleep, the pain woke him up. In the middle of the night, he sat up and rubbed his palms up and down the sides of his knee. It seemed even larger and hotter. Ron knew that he was in for trouble. He'd never been hurt like this before. The closest thing was when he fell from the top of a chain-link fence and his right ankle bounced up from the ground and had been impaled on one of the twisted bottom ends of the fence. He'd hidden that one from his mother and still had a deep scar. Why had he done it? How could he have been this stupid? Now he might have ruined everything. The next morning was no better. They set him in the living room with his knee propped up on his chair, and George covered it with an ice bag. Ron felt helpless. The least little thing that he tried to do was an ordeal. Trying to stand on one leg and urinate was impossible. He felt humiliated when he sat on the bowl to pee. He assured Marjorie and George that he was fine, and they went to George's mother's house for dinner, promising to bring him a plate home. At least he'd gotten out of that. Ron tried to do homework, but his mind would not allow him to concentrate. What was going to happen to him? What was wrong with his knee? How much trouble was he in? The questions tormented him as much as the pain. After 2 ice bags, the swelling went down a bit, and Ron was elated. Maybe it was going to be okay. He'd heard about sprained knees. Maybe that was what he had done. But in his ears, he could still hear that sickening pop. On Sunday night, Marjorie said, "I don't think that you can go to school tomorrow. I'm going to have to find some way to get you to a doctor. Of course, I don't know how I'm going to do that, and I might lose my job, but I'm glad you had fun playing football." She spit the word football out like she hated it. Ron kept the ice on his knee all night long. He listened to the radio, hiding it under his pillow and pressing it into his ear down to the music. "Puff the Magic Dragon," and "You Don't Have to Be a Baby to Cry" filtered up into him. He heard "Louie Louie" at least 4 times and still didn't understand what the words meant. Every 2 hours, he used the chair and limped down the hall as quietly as he could and refilled the ice bag. Marjorie thought she heard him each time, but was too angry at him for getting hurt to get out of bed. He wasn't supposed to get hurt, and now she'd seen him hurt over and over. Was that the joy of being a mother? By morning, Ron said that he could walk without the chair. He limped and was tentative, but he was improved. "Mom, just let me stay home today. No doctor. You go to work. George was right. The ice is working." George had long since left for work. What Ron was offering made the day simple. It was routine. "Okay, but I need to call your father." Ron was watching a rerun of The People's Choice when the phone rang. He liked that Cleo the dog talked. He wanted to see the mayor's daughter without her clothes. Absently, he was stroking his penis when the phone rang. "Ronald?" His erection dissipated in an eye blink. "Hi, Dad." "Tell me what happened." Ron closed his eyes. Now he needed to pee again. "I was stupid. I got hurt because I was stupid again." "That's how you learn," said Harry. "How bad is it?" "I've been putting ice on it. I can almost walk now. It hurts, but it's going to be okay." "I'll call you later. Try not to be stupid again." Ron flushed at the admonishment. "Okay." The receiver clicked. Ron looked back up at the screen to see the mayor's daughter walk away with her hips wiggling. He began to stroke it again.